As you're aware, Indiana closed its books on the fiscal year in solid financial shape with another balanced budget and in addition to the state's rainy day reserves, now around 10% of the year's budget, which is at the level most experts find prudent and secure. This is in stark contrast to what is happening in two-thirds of the states of America, which are now in the red, and that leads to terrible consequences sometimes, particularly for education. At least 19 states we can count have cut public education. 20,000 teachers have received pink slips in California alone. And we are determined that in some difficult times, Indiana will remain in solid shape and will protect vital services starting with education. So in view of our solid condition, I have instructed the Budget Office to add about $84 million to the rainy day reserve for education. This goes beyond what the legislature had requested in the property tax bill of earlier this year, and it takes the action 2.5 years sooner than was required. Although we finished the year in solid shape, much better than our competitors, 09 shapes up to be at least as difficult as 08 was. Revenues in the last three quarters of the previous fiscal year were growing very slowly. And we're just going to have to watch every penny, as we did throughout 08 and throughout our first years here, to make certain that Indiana stays in the black and that we protect education and public safety and all the other fundamental obligations of government. Yeah. The state has rainy day reserves of two or three kinds. One of them is specifically set aside for public education to protect against some downturn or some underfunding in a future budget, and it cannot be used for any other purpose. And so this will raise the percentage of our rainy day funds for public education to about 30%. And as I say, we're getting there 2.5 years faster than was requested, and we're going further. We're adding to the fund more than the legislature requested.
Now that the rainy day fund is rebuilt, it was emphasized having a budget truly balanced. It's not balanced by much of the projection. Are you willing to go into the rainy day fund if necessary next year?
Well, that's what they're for, but our objective will be not to have to do that. My objective has always been, first, to balance the budget, second, to pay back the debts to schools and towns, and that was done. Third, to restore the rainy day funds, which, as you now can see, are at least approaching a level of solid prudence. And then to further reduce taxes and leave more money in the pockets of Hoosiers. So our goal would be another balanced budget and try to make possible the opportunity for further tax cuts on top of the property tax cuts of this year. I'm a tax cutter. We proved it this year in the property tax bill. But I think that idea is one among various ideas that could be looked at for ways to leave more money with Hoosiers. But we better be careful. As other states have found, it's very easy to slip into the red. Indiana blew a $2 billion surplus just a few years ago, and it started with the gas tax. So I'm open to that idea, as I am to other ways in which we might leave more discretionary income with Hoosiers. But I think caution is the watchword. And I wouldn't want to take that step and then see public education, for instance, punished as it is being now in 19 other states that weren't very careful about their money.
So would you say you're open to the idea?
I'll talk to the next General Assembly about it. As you know, there is no power delegated to the governor to just run off and do things like that now, so it would have to be by legislative act, and we ought to discuss it among other ways to help Hoosiers at a time when we all know many are struggling.
Well, is it purely a fiscal question? If you were sure the money was there philosophically, would you have concerns about it?
I think there are a lot of ways that we can help Hoosiers. Lowering property taxes by 30 to 40% was a big way to leave more money in Hoosiers' pockets. And there are other ways we could do it. But I'm not closed-minded about this narrow approach of the tax on gasoline alone.
Are you concerned at all that the legislature might do what they did in the 90s and go into a tax-cutting contest between the parties?
Well, I'm concerned that money can burn a hole in legislatures' pockets. We've seen it in our state up through 2004. We're seeing it all over America right now. That can happen either through spending money that you later wish you hadn't committed to, or reducing revenue in some way. But let me just say, it was not easy to get Indiana to the position we're in. We, particularly at a time of national economic slowdown, which is being reflected in slow growth of revenue to the state, it's a time to be cautious. Once again, bad things happen when a state mismanages the people's business. Education cuts, public safety cuts. We've got states out there letting criminals out of prison early because they can't afford to keep them. And we don't intend to let Indiana slip back into that condition, if there's anything we can do about it.
I think New Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers are coming out today that show Indiana losing more jobs again last month. What's your reaction to that?
Every state is. You got a national economic slowdown, and we're part of that economy. We have to work hard on this every single day. Yesterday, we lost some jobs in the RV industry because people stopped buying RVs. We added 500 jobs at Terre Haute, an important and impressive new company. We are running hard every day to bring new jobs to this state. Right now, we're doing better than our competition, but nobody's doing very well. No, more colloquially. Not a bad target, but no, expressed that way, I think, just for the sake of being conversational. The point is we want to add more than we are losing. I'd rather three or four for everyone that goes away. The point is, in a dynamic economy, especially one that's struggling nationally and beyond, there are going to be some jobs go away, and the places that succeed are those that really work and hustle and build a great environment for the new jobs that are coming online. Well, Indiana has rocketed up the list of every measure of economic competitiveness. Cost of doing business, lowest taxes, best overall environment, CEO surveys, every single one. We have moved way up. CNBC last week said we had made the biggest jump of any state. Now, that's what government can do, try to build the best environment, then go out and market the advantages of the state. And I think the record is a very, very strong one that way. And you see the jobs that we have on their way to Indiana from transactions already in hand, and it's a very positive story. But we're not immune from a national trend, and you can see that in states all over America, things are worse.
It sounds like what you're saying, then, back to this question, is that the job numbers, you don't think, are, in this election, an appropriate way to measure success?
I'd say there may be one marker. You know, even at an increased level, unemployment, as measured by the Bureau, is the same number in Indiana now in a near recession that it was in a boom in 04. In a national boom in 04, we had just as high unemployment as we do today in Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Of big contributions. Do you think Indiana should be looking at contribution caps or unlimited now?
I've never been a fan of it. I believe in more open disclosure. I think we need to make further improvements on the openness and the frequency of reporting, right? Certainly something I'd like to get done in a next legislature. But I think people ought to more or less be free to do it. These were huge contributions, and they're from out-of-state interest groups. You're quite correct. But as opposed to limit the ability of outside interests to, or anyone, to take part, I think my preference would just be full information. Hoosiers can judge for themselves if they want an election bought by somebody in Washington, D.C., or somebody with a non-Indiana motive.
Governor, there's a meeting this morning about the naming of the airport. So you've still got the photograph.
Yeah. No, I hope Weir Cook will be honored. He's going to stay on that wall as the great hero that he is, but it's a tough call, and I don't have any advice for those who have to make it.
Not everyone's obviously going to agree with decisions you've made in the first 3 years.
They're not?
No. you have a campaign ad that acknowledges as much. I'm curious as to what single decision when you're out traveling the state do you hear the most concern about?
It changes, you know, it changes from time to time. I'm just going to say lately the feedback has been very, very positive. And more and more I hear folks say, no, I don't agree with everything, but overall we're doing better than other states, and we're acting, at least we're moving against our problems. All right, thank you very much.